Hello, and welcome to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. This week, our guest on the show is Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski. Thanks so much for being with us. As you're listening, we can still take your questions for the mayor. You can get those in by emailing ask@wbaa.org. Mayor, welcome to the show.
Hey, Emily, how are you today?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
So last week, Mayor Dennis opened the show by talking about the polar plunge you both participated in to benefit the Special Olympics. I said I would mention it to you. I did watch the video. You did get drenched. You did have a lot of water poured on you. You were at the Columbian Park at the Penguin exhibit?
Yeah, so that's an event that I try to help with every year and help for many years and usually go over and jump in and participate. This year we did something a little bit different. They were doing some different things. So we put together a little video up at Columbian Park at the Penguin exhibit, and I let some of my staff dump some water over my head, and we work to encourage people to get involved in the polar plunge. And I want to thank, we had a nice response to the video, and I was able to raise over $1,000 for Special Olympics. So I want to thank everyone that contributed. That's a great cause. They do wonderful programs, and we certainly want to support them. So a shout out and a thank you to everybody who watched the video and helped make that successful.
So we were talking about some of the sunshine we've been experiencing lately before the show started, and some of the weather to come over the next couple of days, including as we head into March Madness beginning in central Indiana. And of course, that includes games at Mackey Arena. So we're getting ready for that. What's Lafayette's part in all of that lead up? What are we preparing for in Lafayette?
Well, we're kind of doing what we typically do when it comes to things where there are events for hospitality. We want to make sure that everybody knows what's going on and that we're prepared for different types of weather. We haven't taken all the snow equipment off the front of the trucks yet. We've taken some of it off, but okay, in case there would be some inclement weather, we actually have those trucks, some of those trucks still available. We've got plenty of salt in the salt dome if there are things like that that we needed to do. So we'll be ready for that. So I feel pretty good, because the crowds are limited. Mm-hmm. There are not a ton of things extra that we need to do. Obviously, we actually keep our street sweepers out almost all year. Except for some really, really cold weather, the types of machines we have, we can do that almost year round. And so they're already back out doing things and keeping things looking nice. And we're taking down we got all the Christmas lights down from downtown, and we're going to try something new this year. We're going to put some of the lights back up a little bit different. Not around the trunks of the trees, because this is the time when they'll really grow and we don't want to constrict that in any way. But for the first time, we'll be putting some lights back up into the limbs, kind of something we're going to try to do year round. And then when fall gets here, maybe change that color of bulb to a different fall color to go along with the planters that we do and the hanging baskets that we do, just to give downtown a little bit more light and a little bit, more uniqueness as people are coming downtown for events and restaurants and different activities that we hope continue to pick up here as we continue to get people vaccinated. So we're going to do some little special things like that.
So, the conversation, obviously because the games are happening in West Lafayette, that kind of puts a focus on that city. But how is Lafayette also a part of that conversation? Since, we're right next door, what are you thinking about in terms of the attention that it will also bring to your part of town?
I think it's wonderful that, really the state of Indiana is become a focal point for basketball, as it should be in the basketball state that we are, with the Big Ten tournament starting and then with the games that will be played for the NCAA that will be Indianapolis here and some other spots. I think that speaks well for the state. It gives us all a chance to highlight ourselves and as we market the communities, people go back and forth between Lafayette and West Lafayette for different hotels, for different restaurants, to check out stores and shops and art opportunities. So, you know, we feel good about that people will continue to move back and forth between the two communities, come down to the river. We hope people will take a walk on the promenade. And then in both communities, what we, you know, hope people see is the construction that's underway, that there are investments being made here, that the communities are growing, and that we, you know, convince people what a great place to live. You never know who might decide to take another look at us, to move themselves or to start a business here. Or, you know, those things do happen. And so we always are, you know, always, quite honestly, are working to put our best foot forward, because you never know when somebody's coming into town.
So in terms of, and the fan, there are fans allowed, but as you said, there aren't, it's not going to be to full capacity. You know, next week could be a busy week for local businesses nonetheless, because, you know, people might be going out to bars and restaurants. It's also St. Patrick's Day next week. You know, how is this going to impact some local bars and restaurants?
Well, we certainly hope that they do have some increase in business. Like we've talked about this a little bit before, it's a little hard to measure exactly what that will be. You know, I have heard, and I haven't confirmed this, that on the NCAA games, that they're not going to allow the teams to stay in hotels in the local areas. They're going to have to stay in Indianapolis, and then they'll come up in time for their game. And I'm not sure if that's correct or not. I just heard that last week, that potentially. So, you know, those, if that's the case, that will obviously hurt the impact a little bit that we were talking about, but we still think there'll be a nice impact. We're thrilled that they're here. Whatever happens, it's just a good sign that they felt comfortable putting them in, you know, making Greater Lafayette, Purdue University, one of those locations for some of the games.
So we are kind of slowly starting to come up on the, you know, let's call it the events season again. Lots of festivals and fairs that got canceled last year, kind of starting to maybe return to the calendar, like the Round the Fountain Art Fair. I heard someone say this week, this summer will be better than the summer of 2020, but it's still not going to be quite like the summer of 2019. I thought that was a good way of putting it. I guess, is the city already kind of starting to think about things like holding 4th of July events, you know, looking at the calendar for the coming months and trying to think about what can happen?
Oh, absolutely. We're, you know, we are, Cindy Murray, who's heading that up for us. We are definitely planning for the 4th of July celebration downtown. We are moving forward with those preparation to the best of our ability, with the, you know, the thought that we will be able to hold that, even if it's not exactly the same as it always is, but we'll see. There's a lot of vaccine that is coming out, and we'll just have to see how that continues to move. So we are absolutely planning for that. You know, the Taste of Tippecanoe, although it you know, not going to be in June, but will be moved back a couple months. I mean, we're still planning on that. In fact, the city is going to be the premier sponsor of the Taste of Tippecanoe this year, to help with the Tippecanoe Arts Federation and all of our arts organizations. We know that is a huge fundraiser for them, and so the city is actually going to be the premier sponsor, and we want to encourage other sponsors to get on board. And we're going to have a great festival, downtown festival this year, and a great Taste, and we want to get people on board with that. You know, we need to be safe. We've said that, but we do need to think about the economy and people that need jobs and incomes and be able to pay their rent and all those types of things. And so and some of those organizations that mean so much to the community, that literally their lifeblood is some of these events. And, you know, to go 2 years without some of these things just really would be incredibly devastating, and maybe some of those organizations wouldn't even exist anymore. And so we are really looking forward to being able to do some significant things this summer, and, you know, do them safely, but we need to do them. And I think people are ready for that. And then, of course, people that may not feel that way, certainly that is a personal choice that they can make. And if they choose not to participate, you know, we all have the right to make those decisions. But, you know, there are some things that we really need to strongly look at moving forward. And we're certainly here at the city planning to do some of those.
So you touched on this briefly. And if these events do happen, I guess, how do you think they could look a little bit different, as you said, even with relaxed restrictions? What are some things you're thinking about to keep it safe?
Well, you know, there are things like maybe how we do the timing, spacing, timing of events, timing of activities, maybe the way that we lay out the physical footprint of the event, you know, and again, it's a little bit hard to say exactly. I mean, because what might look right in June may be able to be a little bit even more relaxed in July and, mm-hmm. and in August. You know, when we're thinking about doing the taste, what you're able to do in August may look, you know, significantly even different than what you did in May and June. And of course, people that still want to wear masks, nobody is going, you know, if the mask mandate is gone at that time, certainly people that still want to wear masks should wear masks and do those things. And so, you know, there's no concrete answer, you know, there's no, this is absolute right at this time. You know, like most things during COVID, we'll have to adapt as we move forward, but we are moving forward. I think it is time to do that. It is time to get the planning in place so we can have some of these events at certain levels and hopefully as high a level as possible as the year continues to move forward. And, you know, I really, when I talk to a lot of people every day, just at different activities, different locations, and I think people really are ready for that. I know that they understand we still have to be careful at this point and we still need to all be wearing our mask and doing those things, but they are ready for us to take those steps and allow people to begin and businesses and those organizations to ensure that they can survive and people have their jobs and that we can move this economy, we can move the economy forward.
You are listening to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. We're talking right now with Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski. So at a city council meeting this month, there was a first reading of an ordinance addressing the use of, and I really like these words, parklets and streeteries. So a parklet defined as a small public gathering space occupying one or more parking spaces on a public street and treated in all respects as a public sidewalk, but which facilities are privately owned and maintained. And then a streetery, defined as one or more parking spaces used either as an extension of or a standalone sidewalk cafe connected visually to and for use by patrons of a nearby restaurant or bar and service. So can you just give us a little bit of background on how this ordinance came to be with the parklets and the streeteries?
Right. And we're really focusing on streeteries is really where our focus is. Ironically, about 5 years ago, we first started looking at parklets and streeteries. We had classes at Purdue help us with this. We had some meetings over at Matchbox to start floating this idea. You know, we were doing it in the middle of streetscape, and we were trying to build, you know, outdoor dining areas for restaurants to the best of our ability. Obviously, that was not possible everywhere. And so we began to look then at what other options might be. People were interested, mm-hmm. but because we weren't in COVID and some of those things, there wasn't I don't want to say enthusiasm. People were enthused. They thought it was something we should continue to look at, but there wasn't anybody that really wanted to take that step at that particular point or felt it was, you know, necessary for them to do that. Well, COVID has re-brought that thought process back up. So, you know, obviously dining outdoors is much safer. People with outdoor dining, had more flexibility in what they were able to do, at least during the good months where you could, you know, be outside and eating. And so it's really brought up this thought again. And then, of course, Fresh Air Eats that the city sponsored really was a hit. In fact, people have ask us to continue Fresh Air Eats, maybe not at the exact same way that we did, you know, last summer, but it's some hybrid model. Lots of the restaurants and people ask us to continue that because people seem to really enjoy that. And if, you know, during especially the next few months where people are getting more comfortable, people are getting more vaccinated, you know, having the opportunity for additional outdoor seating certainly seems to be very popular and something people are very interested in, from the owners of the restaurants to just people in the community who want to come down and support them but would still feel more comfortable being able to eat outside and on a picnic table, you know, out in the street like we did. And so that kind of brought some of the people that don't have the space to do outdoor seating and could take advantage of Fresh Air Eats, but that might be the only time, kind of brought back up, well, would these streeteries be a potential option for people to extend their ability to do some of their outdoor seating? So there was some discussions. We have a couple restaurants. I think Revolution Barbecue and the Black Sparrow are the two that have expressed interest in this. And so we wanted to get something on the books. So if people do want to do that, that we have a process to do. I mean, there is a process. It's got to go to the parking commission because it will take up a parking space or two, and it has to be approved by the parking commission, and surrounding businesses have the opportunity to come and voice either their support or, you know, if they're not supportive of it. And then in the engineer's office, we have design standards that have to be met. And the engineer's office has to approve the construction and ensure that they meet the design standards from a safety standpoint and structural standpoint, so they're safe. So we wanted to have something on the books to so we could give this a try. In a lot of large cities, they do this. This is not new in a lot of places in the United States. It's new for us around here. So we want to give it a try, and if people are interested, see how the process works. And if it works well, that's something we'll continue with.
I was going to ask, when you're looking at implementing something like this, you know, and you look at other cities, you know, how do you kind of take a look not only at the fact that they're doing it at all, but how they're doing it to kind of give you an example of what direction to go in? Is there a city, you know, that has does it in a really interesting way, or a way that you think would really work here?
Well, there are several cities. I don't know if there's one off the top of my head. It was about 5 years ago when we first had all those discussions, and we looked at the different cities and different examples of, you know, people had made, I forget what city it was, but it was looked like a miniature Wrigley Field.
Uh-huh.
And I saw some other ones where they were, you know, almost like a zoo, and there were other ones that were very, actually quite simple, and there were others that were elaborate. And so I think the design standards, you know, we have looked at some other cities from a safety standpoint, and that's how we developed our design standards here, is actually looking at other communities where they have been done well. And so I feel comfortable about, you know, where we're at in the process, and we're going to start off slow here. Like I said, right now, only a couple places have expressed interest, but we'll kind of start slow, see how it goes, see if we need to make adjustments along the way. But we certainly don't want to be afraid to try new things, to at least new for here, and, you know, give those opportunities. People seem to really enjoy eating outdoors when it's nice. And I know the restaurants that have outdoor seating capabilities, you know, if the weather's good and you go by, you know, they're usually always full, and it really helps with their capacities and stuff. So if there's a way we can help some folks that are a little bit smaller footprint and don't quite have that ability with the sidewalks in front of there because of the road widths and different things, then we just want to see if we can help our local small businesses.
So as the weather starts to get warmer, keeps getting warmer, I know that city construction projects have continued. Obviously, they don't come to a full halt when it's cold outside. But, you know, how do they kind of pick back up and accelerate as it starts to get nicer out?
Yeah, we were able to keep working, you know, at Loeb Stadium because most of that was all closed in, and the weather stuff that was really dependent on the weather had already been done. We did take a They did stop for a couple weeks up at the lagoon when it got really, really cold, and we had the single digits and some mm-hmm. sub zero with wind chills. The ground got too hard to work, and you can't grade and do those things that you need to do. But they are back working up at the lagoon. The two projects that the city is involved with, but are by private developers, but we're financial partners, the Ellsworth and the Luna, are both back under construction. The Luna has people over there working. The Ellsworth is in a transition period right now. They've got all the digging out that they need to do, and all the dirt removed that they need to remove. So in their process of now bringing in the next set of crews and equipment to actually move into a construction phase. The Luna, it's got a larger footprint. They are still in the phase over there of digging, and they're going to go much, much deeper because they have some subgrade underground parking. The Ellsworth has parking with it, but it starts at ground level and goes up. The Luna actually has a floor that goes down below ground level, so they have a lot more excavation work and shoring work that they need to do over there. So they're still going full bore on that right now. So yeah, for the most part, everything was able to keep going or just stop just a little bit during that really, you know, bitter stretch that we had. And we'll see. There's a lot of rain in the forecast, so that has a profound effect on what kind of spring you have as far as how much work you can do too, is by how much rain we get and how saturated the ground gets.
So what is the latest out at Loeb Stadium? What's ahead in these next couple of weeks and months?
Yeah, well, I was hoping you've got something about it. I mean, next Monday we're doing kind of just a small soft opening,
okay,
ribbon cutting. Jeff High School will be there practicing. We're going to get the kids involved a little bit with that, helping us cut the ribbon. There'll be, you know, we're going to give some talks, nothing real big yet. And then there are going to be some tours, things like that. So, you know, people want to get a tour of it, that people can do that. We're hoping that our friends in the media will help update everybody on where we're at. And then at the end of the month, the first official game that will be played there is Jeff versus Central Catholic. And so there'll be a few other activities for that. And we're hoping to be able to make some announcements. Can't disclose that right now, but we're hoping to make at least one nice announcement at that game. And that will be the first actual game that's played there. And then, of course, first week of June, we'll have a huge celebration, and hopefully with a lot of people having their shots, we'll really be able to open that stadium up, since it's an outdoor venue, and that will be the Aviators' first home game, and they've got a lot of things that they're planning for the community. So, yep, next Monday kind of is the official soft opening of the stadium with the Jeff kids there practicing, and at the end of the month, the Jeff Central Catholic game will be there, and that'll be the first official game in the stadium.
Okay. Yesterday, a $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief bill was passed, and it includes $350 billion for state and local governments. The United States Conference of Mayors, of which you're a member, released a statement supporting the bill, saying, "For nearly a year, many cities have confronted enormous budget deficits as a result of the pandemic. Today's vote ensures local officials can keep residents safer by expanding COVID-19 testing, treatment, and vaccine distribution while addressing the budget shortfalls that have contributed to massive layoffs and cuts to essential services." Now, obviously, some cities have taken a harder financial hit than others, but can you talk about how getting this kind of funding could help impact Lafayette, since it's kind of addressing not right. just the COVID-related expenditures that you've had to contend with over the past year, but other budget shortfalls, other things that you might need money for?
Well, you know, we have been, well, first of all, you know, it looked, there are a lot of, we believe, hoops that we'll need to jump through. And so we're not really counting on that money yet. Obviously, if you look at some of the calculations based on population and different things in the formulas, it would look like there'd be about $16 million set aside for Lafayette. That's about what we would qualify for. But, you know, there is still a lot of study to be done about what are the restrictions, what documentation do you need, you know, how is that going to work? Is it going to be over multiple years? And so we're not really, you know, we're not really counting on that, that money. You know, our community really has fared better probably than a lots of communities out in throughout the United States. We have not cut any essential services. We have not laid anybody off. We have not reduced police or fire or any of those things. We have managed our money well before COVID got here, and we continue to manage it well. So we'll see. I mean, our COET edit, our public safety lit money, you know, is going to be less. It's probably going to be less. The biggest year that we'll probably get the hit is 2022. So we, you know, we have to look at through this, you know, is it available for 2022, or do you have to show, you know, how much income you lost in 19 and parts of 20? And, you know, for us, the edit was somewhat of a hit, but the big hit would probably be in 2022. And then the other one was where we did probably see in a major fund is our motor vehicle highway fund. So people drove less, they bought less gasoline, those types of things. And so we have seen less money in those funds. So that would be an area. And of course, if that's the case and we would get money for that, then, you know, that will go. Looking at it, you know, very preliminarily.
Yes.
Of course, we'll work with the city council, the department heads, the Board of Works. But if we did get some of the money, we did lose a decent amount of money in those funds, you know, that would almost assuredly go to additional road paving, curb work, building handicap ramps, you know, some of those things, because that's where that money typically goes. And so we would use that money to pave roads, put in handicap ramps, work on curbs and things of that nature if we did get some of that lost revenue back in that particular area.
So 1 year ago today, the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 was a global pandemic. And I interviewed you 1 year ago today for this show. We talked about COVID. And among many other things, you said overall you wanted to find the balance between overreacting and underreacting to what was happening. So a year later, how do you feel about that balance? Did you find that balance this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a challenge. We've had to go back and forth, and everybody has learned as we went. But again, I think our community has fared better than most, but I do think it's time that we do take those next steps in that balance, thinking about the economy and finding incremental ways to do things that allow people to be engaged in more activities.
That is our time for today. Mayor Wisworski, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
You can find this program at our website, WBAA.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of Lafayette, West Lafayette, Crawfordsville, and Frankfort. Send us your questions to ask@wbaa.org. Thanks for listening, and have a great rest of the day.